Good day, friends. We come to your family circle with another program of Bible truth based upon what the Word of God has to offer. We are continuing on now with lesson number 7 in a series of 8 under the caption of the Bible Picture of Christianity. I trust as we come into your family circle today with this glorious gospel that you will stay with us for the next quarter hour as we deal with the importance of being faithful to the Lord. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Someone asked me not too many years ago what it really meant to be faithful, and I said a definition that was passed on to me, which I believe is outstanding, is simply to turn that word around. It means one who is full of faith. And when we talk about being full of faith, it's a faith that is alive. It's not the faith that James spoke of in James 2:26 when he said, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The works that's associated with faith must be considered the action of that faith, not our own works of righteousness which we have done, but the righteousness which comes from the Word of God that we actually put into our life as we serve the Lord daily. So faithfulness is a very vital situation. We are to be faithful unto death to receive that crown of life. Paul made it clear in Galatians 6:9. He said, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You see, when Barnabas went down to Antioch in Syria, before we find that Paul actually was over there with him, he exhorted the brethren with purpose of heart to cleave to the Lord. He wanted them to be faithful. This was the same teaching that was given there in the 14th chapter of Acts on that first journey when Paul and Barnabas had preached the word and had taught it, had confirmed the souls of the disciples, and had exhorted them to be faithful in the Lord. So I want to simply say to you that it puts upon a basis of each individual serving the Lord according to that faithful teaching. Paul made an interesting statement in the Corinthian epistle, and those of you that are taking notes on the broadcast today, and we understand there are a number who keep a pad of paper there by their Bible and by their radio. Be sure and write down 1 Corinthians 4:2. Here's what that momentous passage says. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." A lot of times people seem to get this thing mixed up. They think that one who has talent, that this necessarily causes that person to stand out regarding faith. Now, don't misunderstand me. We understand that talent is vital. In fact, in the famous 25th chapter of Matthew, when Christ told the three stories, first the parable of the virgins, then the parable of the talents, and the parable of the great judgment, you remember in that parable of the talents, there were three servants that were mentioned. One who had 5 talents, another who had 2, and one servant who had 1 talent. There must have been a great deal of difference between the one who had the 1 talent and the one who had 5. There would still be difference between the one who had 2 and the one who had 5. But the point is that a person who had 5 talents, simply because he had those talents, did not mean that he would be faithful. Now, this man was faithful. He gained 5 talents more, as well as the one who had 2 gained 2 more. But you see, the individual who only had 2 talents received the same reward as the one who had gained 5. If you look at that very carefully, you'll find the 25th chapter of Matthew in verse 21. It simply says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." And then when you read about the 2-talent servant who gained 2 more talents, you'll find the same statement being made. What I'm trying to say is faithfulness does not depend upon our ability or our talent, but it depends upon what we do sincerely for the Lord with that talent or that ability. You know, talent could be the downfall, as it probably has been, of some people, realizing that when one is talented, he or she might come to the conclusion that I really know it all. I'm so much above the other people that I'm riding high, and certainly God will have to recognize this as being a true character. Faithfulness is that which actually begins like repentance does on the inside and works its way out. So when Paul is talking about the stewards here, he said that a man must be found faithful. I remember a story being told me years ago in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, by a good brother who has passed on now. But as I went into his barbershop one day to talk to him regarding the Word of God, because whenever he was busy with a customer, He always liked to talk about the Word of God. He did talk to his customers as well. But in the course of our conversation, we were talking about faithfulness. We were talking about what is needed and what is required in one living for the Lord. And you know, he cited some very good examples to me that I'll never forget. He said, you know, there are people who have a great deal of talent and they use it to the glory of God. And then there are people, as far as their public ability is concerned, they just don't have it. They do not have the talent to direct singing. They do not have the talent to make an exhortation. They might have a talent to pray. They might have a talent to assist at the Lord's table. The point simply is this, that whatever talent a person might have, you see, this does not depend upon how faithful he can be. So the point is that he cited an example of two or three people in that very congregation where he attended, that he said these people take very small part publicly. After all, in 1 Peter 4:11, not alone does it say, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, but it also says, if any man minister or serve, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. He told about these people who were able to work with their hands. And he said, we've got one brother in the congregation that when anything needs to be done, where he can help another with his hands, he's right there, the first person on the job to do it. I think you can see what I'm talking about on the broadcast. So you see, our faithfulness may actually have a beginning when we're in the assembly, because everything about us indicates faith there. In our worship, we realize everything that we do is associated with faith. Our giving to the Lord, our remembering the Lord's death upon the cross, our singing, our praying, our exhortation, these things all are faith. And there's an individual aspect there that enters into that service. Even though we're together as a collective body, yet there's individual aspect. But then we go forth to serve the Lord. You know, I'm wondering, as we look at the great teaching that Christ gave, if we can't find an emphasis being placed upon not alone what we do in the church building, but also what we do in daily life. For instance, that question that no doubt has been asked you, who is my neighbor? Well, the way Jesus answered it was by giving us the story of the Good Samaritan. And I know as I talk to you on this station today that probably the majority of people who listen remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Did you ever stop to think that this was a story really of stewardship? It was a story of the very ingredients that go into faith. Now, if the man who fell among thieves was a Jew, then you see it takes on a very definite hue here. In noting it, the priest and Levi, who were looked upon as, well, somewhat of a clergy back at that time, they were probably too busy. They probably didn't want to dirty their hands with this man who was beaten up by the wayside. He must have been a mess. So they passed by on the other side. I'm sure they had more important things in their mind to do than stop and help this fellow. And then this good Samaritan came along. Now, he was a busy fellow. In fact, you remember when he took the man to the inn, he said, now, I'm going to have to leave. I hear so much money, and I'll be back this way, and if there's any other charges, you put it to my account. That's what we'd say in our speech today. So you see, he was a busy man. He probably was as busy as the priest and Levite. But I want you to keep in mind, he was a Samaritan. And I've often thought if that man who fell among thieves was a Jew, that in normal life, because of the prejudice that existed between these two classifications of people, he may have looked down upon this man. If he'd have found this fella in a similar circumstance where he was, he might have passed by on the other side of the road. Now, I'm not saying that all the Jewish people would do this, but it's altogether possible because of prejudice that one might do that. But the interesting point is that the Samaritan didn't do it. He stopped, gave this man first aid, got him into what would be equivalent to a hospital or a first aid station today, and he took care of the bill. There were no strings attached to this. This was a service that was rendered to his fellow man. Now, that's the theme that the Lord is talking about in judgment in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Now, don't misunderstand me. We have an obligation to God, and that includes our worship and our life before him. But also, according to that last story of the judgment in the 25th chapter of Matthew, it is a responsibility between the individual toward his fellow man. Remember the story? The righteous, when they were considered sheep on the right, were confronted by the king or the master. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you cared for me, and so on. And even the righteous said, Lord, when did we see this happen to you? We didn't see you in these conditions. And then he said, as much as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren and your brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, that doesn't indicate the only people we should help is our brethren and the Lord. The book says in Galatians 6 and 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let's do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. So they do have a very definite part as our brethren in the Lord, the word assist them, but we'll assist all as we have opportunity and can. And then we have the goats on the left hand coming up and saying, why, we didn't see you in this circumstance. And he tells them they had an opportunity to render that service to their fellow man, and they failed to do it. I believe this is a vital circumstance, as Paul has taught, and also as James teaches in James 1:27 in defining pure religion. He said to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That means to care for those who are in need. To keep ourselves unspotted from the world is setting the right example before our fellow man and keeping a trust and a desire to keep ourselves free from sin. Jesus died on the cross that that might be possible. Well, we're going to have to close with this lesson of faithfulness. We hope that you are faithful. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, obey what that gospel teaches. Follow that, my friends, with a Christian life. Be faithful unto death that you might receive the crown of life. We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast. Listen for the time of service of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast and be there. You're welcome to the service. Come and bring your Bible and your entire family. And be with us next time, which incidentally will be the final lesson in this current series. May God bless us all as we obey His marvelous and His wonderful truth.